Pomeroy, you're a brilliant scientist and an administrator, and you've had an illustrious career and an extraordinary life. You are a champion of compassion, inclusion, innovation, community health, a reformer and a leader. How much of your past experience as a foster child motivates you?
You know, for me, I think the thing that motivates anyone in life is our core values. For me, the core values that I have, the things that I hold most dear, were really formed in my childhood and through my experiences as a foster child. So in foster care, I learned a lot of things about people, about the power of kindness, the power of caring. And that I really learned from people who were courageous and kind enough to open up their homes to me as a foster child. I also learned about things like race and diversity. And that comes from having had the experience of having been in two African-American foster homes and looking around and seeing children of all races and all backgrounds who came into the foster care system. So I think from that came the core value of social justice and social responsibility. And so I think if you take the combination of those core values that I formed as a foster child of kindness and compassion and the power of that, along with this commitment to social justice and social responsibility, it drives everything that I do. It is our core values that give us the passion for the things we do in life. And those core values for me were formed when I was in foster care. So one of the things that I saw in foster care was that a lot of foster kids were abandoned, and not just abandoned by their parents, but abandoned by society. And it's a tragic waste. I saw kids who basically society was throwing away and saying, you don't have value. We're not going to invest in you. We're not going to nurture you. And I saw those kids give up hope. To me, that was the ultimate injustice to a child, is to take away their hope. And I think out of that grew my commitment. I also recognized that I had a lot of advantages in life. And you know, the foster care system caught me and took care of me. That's not the experience of every foster child. I had the advantage of a good education and good schools. That's not the advantage of every foster child. And so from that, I realized that it is necessary that we embrace our responsibility for bringing justice to every single person in our society. And it's every person's responsibility to embrace bring justice to everyone in this society. And that I'm a firm believer in the quote that the greatness of a society is defined by how we treat our most vulnerable members. And clearly, foster children are among our most vulnerable members of our society. We should aspire to be a great nation, and we can do that by looking at ourselves and how we do treat these vulnerable members. I think that every one of us has the capacity in ourselves to be great, but we don't always live that. And so the challenge is to give people the opportunity to advance social justice, to give people the opportunity for equity. And you know, I saw this again when I did become a physician, and I was watching my patients with HIV and AIDS, and I watched them experience injustice in society and injustice in the healthcare system. So I called upon those core values that I had learned as a foster child, that commitment to social justice and equity. And that is how I knew that being an HIV doctor was the right thing for me. And so I think the inner drive comes from those childhood experiences reinforced by life experiences, such as the ones I had as a physician. And you know, being a physician is such a wonderful profession, because people come to you and they tell you their greatest fears. They tell you also their deepest hopes for the future and their aspirations. And I want for each of those patients justice, equity and the chance for a healthy life. That people trust you because of the training that one has as a physician. People come and they trust you. That is a great honor. It's also a great responsibility. And it is a responsibility to put other people's needs above your own. Think about the kind of society we could be if everyone put other people's needs above their own. I mean, it is so exciting to think about what that could look like. And I don't think we would have abandoned foster children. I don't think we would have patients with illnesses that were associated with stigma. We wouldn't have injustices like racism and sexism and ageism in our society if we were really putting other people's needs above our own. And so for me, that's the core of what makes us human, this drive for justice and equity.
Who were your role models when you were a teenager?
I think I had multiple role models. Probably my biggest role models were my teachers. This is a role in society, I think, that is too often undervalued, the role of teacher. I had teachers who got me excited about learning. I had teachers who believed in me and got me to believe in myself. And teachers were also adults who treated you fairly, who defined some parameters and allowed you the opportunity to be successful and then celebrated it with you. And that seemed like a good thing to be. So several of my teachers were very, very important role models for me as a teenager. I also think there were public figures who were role models for me. Certainly people like John F. Kennedy and later Robert Kennedy were great role models. Dr. Martin Luther King was an inspiring role model. I mean, I think that these leaders were role models for me, and that means that we need to very carefully choose our leaders going forward because they are role models for teenagers. And then finally, my foster parents were role models, absolutely role models. All of them in their own individual way. The first set of foster parents that I had, that was an emergency placement. And they were so kind and compassionate. I think they were troubled by the fact that I didn't trust them. And so in retrospect, they were role models because they didn't need to open up their home to foster kids who needed emergency placements, and they did. And that generosity was a wonderful thing in a role model. And, you know, the next role model was my foster parent. She was an African-American woman, and she was very, very wise, taught me a lot of practical things about life, taught me a lot of very powerful, important things about race and diversity and equity. Just by living her life the way that she did, she was a very powerful role model. And my third set of foster parents, it was also an African-American family. He was a teacher at our high school, And I really learned from them about the power of bringing diverse groups of people together. My foster father was white, his wife was African American, and I saw them struggling in society to be accepted. And that courage and that commitment to each other, that was a role model for me. And then my final foster parents were absolutely role models for me. I mean, they became foster parents just to, support me. And they made a lot of sacrifices, and I wouldn't have, survived, never mind flourished, without their support and their kindness and their caring. So, those are wonderful attributes, and those are, in fact, are the people who became my role models.
When you became 18 and no longer eligible for foster care, how did you make the transition?
Well, actually, I made the transition at 17 because my foster parents moved out of state. And so I prematurely aged out of the foster care system. And as you know, though, aging out of the foster care system is a big challenge. I mean, kids who aren't in foster care, they have parents who support them after they're 18 and at least help guide them, a place to go for Christmas holidays, a home base. And when you age out of foster care, there's this realization of extreme vulnerability that If something bad happened to you, you might disappear and no one would notice. It's a very frightening thing to age out of foster care and feel like there's no safety net there for you. I was fortunate that I was accepted into a 6-year pre-medical medical program to become a physician. This program was at the University of Michigan, which was, I grew up in Ann Arbor, so it was my hometown university. I think that I made the transition by concentrating on my studies, by the support that was given by the university to me, for everything from financial aid to a purpose. And I think that's sort of what everyone needs when they turn 18. They need the practical things in life, but they also need to be motivated and inspired by a purpose. And so I had that. So that support that I got from the university, that support that I got from friends that I made at university, that was how I made the transition. But it wasn't easy. I supported myself financially, along with some financial aid from the university. It was a tough time. I think the biggest thing that helped me through that transition was the fact that I realized I was working towards my dream of becoming a doctor, going to medical school. That was the most important thing that made the transition. Having a dream, working towards it, understanding the path towards it, this is what gives meaning to life. And that larger meaning makes the small obstacles or the barriers more manageable.
You said that you were lucky because you were white and educated and, I may add, extremely gifted. What would you say today to those foster children, though, who are the least likely to succeed? I know it's a difficult question, but one that should be asked.
I actually think it's not a difficult question, because what I would say to each of those children is, you are incredibly valuable. You are the future. And I trust that you can do wonderful things. And there are other people that trust that you can do wonderful things. And every individual has the right to have the dream, have hopes, have aspirations. And I would say to them, what are your dreams? What is your plan for getting there? And probably most importantly, what help do you need to get there?
Now that you are in a position to give back, what is your mission creating a program with the Stewart Foundation?
I think the idea of these programs that I've supported is to make sure that foster kids have the opportunity to be dreamers. I believe that many of the greatest healthcare professionals are people who've overcome adversities. It gives them insight into other people's struggles, and it gives a compassion and an understanding that is very deep. And so I view former foster children as people, if they're able to go on and succeed in their studies and at the university, these are people with great resiliency, great perseverance, and I think they're exactly the kind of people that we would like to have in the healthcare professions. So this program with the Stewart Foundation is really to both benefit the individual student and give them support as they go through their education to become healthcare professionals. But ultimately, it's to benefit society, because I believe that the experiences of these former foster children will help them connect with patients in a particularly effective way. So this is a win-win for the individual former foster child, as well as for their future patients and for society. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. I know the realities of a former foster child trying to figure out how to pay for school, trying to figure out maybe I should drop out of school and get a job and make money. And too often, I also saw a lot of foster kids who just didn't believe that this was a path that would even be open to them. And so if we can create a program, and the Stewart Foundation has stepped up and is doing exactly that says, yes, we believe in you. here's a path, and if it's enticing to you, we will help you walk that path. We'll help you take that journey. And I think that ultimately our community and our country and the world will be the beneficiaries of that. Oh, and I have become quite involved with the Guardian Scholars Program here at UC Davis. I am a strong believer in this program. I go each year and talk to the Guardian Scholars. They were one of the first places I started to talk about my experience as a foster child. It wasn't something that I talked about for a long time. It was something that makes you different, makes you separate. And like many foster kids, I didn't admit to that part of my past. I was trying to get away from that part of my past. And I didn't understand at that point that it made me who I am. It formed those core values. It motivated and inspired me to want to make a difference. With the Guardian Scholars, as I shared my story with people who'd gone through a similar thing, I think it helped them, but I know it helped me to tell my story. And it made me understand the value of the experiences that I had had. And so we nurtured each other, we learned from each other as I interacted with students in the Guardian Scholars program. And so I've remained quite involved with them. I'm inspired by their hopes and accomplishments. One of my favorite times was when I went to the graduation ceremony that they have. Because remember, former foster kids may not have parents to take them out for the celebration after they graduate. And so Guardian Scholars become a family, and they, in many ways, welcomed me into that family. And that discovery of family, if you haven't been through foster care, you can care, but you can't truly experience on a visceral level what that was. And so there's a common bond among the Guardian Scholars, and I shared that bond with them. So being involved with that program was very enriching for me. I'm delighted to continue to be involved with them. This is a passion that I have, so I will always be involved with these programs. One thing that foster kids experience is a lot of separation and a lot of loss. I think it is incumbent upon all of us to work to try to keep them from having more losses. And it's the continuity of something like Guardian Scholars. It's the vote of confidence from something like the Stewart Foundation program that tells them that it's not going to be another loss. It's not going to be just another separation. And that's why I could never just walk away and will always be involved. I think that not everyone has the advantage of having had a family that supported them. And I think every child knows that they need that. And so we can step up and we can be that support. Really, what more powerful thing could you do for a child than to give them hope for the future? I hope that everyone will want to do that. I hope that they'll want to do it for every child that goes through this. We must value the next generation. We must value that hope for the future. Even things that seem small to us, you can change a child's life. I recall one young man who came up to me after one of the talks that I gave and talked to me and shared his story. And he was talking about the fact that he had a job interview coming up and he didn't have a nice set of clothes to wear to the job interview. So we helped him out with what for us was a very small amount of money so that he could do that. And he wrote a letter that said, "This was so amazing for me because no one has ever helped me before." And yes, it breaks your heart, but it also makes you realize the opportunity to make a huge difference in a child's life. So why not grab it?